Well, certainly the increase in cases that are happening now that are being attributed to BA.2 aren't as rapid or as extensive as what we saw when BA.1 emerged right around Thanksgiving time. So I think we also have to think about it in the context that a lot of public health interventions have been relaxed over time. So in some ways, you would expect to see some increase in cases because of the relaxation of public health interventions. So there are multiple things moving here that might be responsible for this increase in cases. Certainly, we're paying attention to BA.2 as a variable, but there may be other things contributing to this.
How does this BA.2 compare to Omicron, as far as how transmissible it is, and again, our worries and concerns about it?
Many people have described them as siblings. They look closely related, but there are some unique mutations in BA.2 that make it a little bit different in terms of how your immune system recognizes it. I think the data that we have seen that it may be slightly more transmissible than BA.1, but so far, its ability to cause severe disease is the same as BA.1. And when people have done vaccine efficacy studies, it looks like vaccines protect just as well against BA.2 as they do against BA.1. Particularly if you've been boosted. So in terms of some of the basic interventions, BA.2 looks very much like BA.1, but that doesn't mean that we're not paying attention to it and trying to pay close attention to the case numbers because, you know, we all always are concerned about surges in cases.
We weren't exactly fully locked down around Thanksgiving as Omicron emerged, but we were taking, it seems to me, more precautions than we are now.
I think that's absolutely true. Many places were just starting to either discuss or move towards relieving some of their public health interventions when the BA.1 emerged around Thanksgiving. We're now fully into public health interventions being taken away across the U.S. And Europe was about 1 to 2 weeks ahead of us in terms of doing the same thing. It really is important to realize this may not be all driven by something unique about BA.2, but it's also this environment that we're now in of having much fewer restrictions than even when BA.1 came on board.
The way we've been talking about dealing with COVID from now on is pay attention to the news. And if you hear about a spike, then maybe you have that mask handy. You start social distancing again. But right now, we seem to be in a period of relaxation. Does that concern you at all as a virologist?
I think it's important for us to, when we get a chance, to be able to sort of get back to normal. But certainly, this disease has not forgotten about us. It has not given up. It has not gotten to the stage where we shouldn't be concerned about it. We really need to sort of follow the case numbers and, importantly, you know, really pay attention to those high risk groups, the elderly, those with certain medical conditions that make them predisposed to very severe disease after SARS-CoV-2 infection. We really have to pay attention to those parts of the population because the vaccines with boosting seem to be working well for most of the population. But again, it's those high risk groups that really are important for us to monitor to make sure that they're still being protected by the vaccines and that antivirals are importantly accessible to them as well in case they do get infected.
With this increase in cases overseas, how likely is it that we'll need another booster shot in the near future here in the U.S.?
Well, this is one of the things that the FDA is going to be tackling relatively soon. Pfizer has recommended a booster dose. That data, as far as I know, has not been released yet. So I think it'll be important to sort of see what the level of protection is, how far it's dropping off. And again, maybe it will be for some groups like those high at risk that a booster is needed. But we haven't seen that data yet. And I really think that we need to wait and see how these hospitalization numbers hold up with boosters in the population for us to be able to really make a judgment on whether a fourth dose is really needed.
As I hear your tone of voice and what you're telling me, you're certainly not blowing this off. You're watching it carefully. But I don't hear a tone of concern in your voice.
I think that the signs right now are not as bad as we saw with the BA.1 emergence. I'm also very careful to caveat that and say right now we're monitoring the situation, but for most Americans, this isn't something that I would say is as concerning as when the BA.1 first emerged. I think there's two ways to look at the numbers as well. The percentage of cases being caused by BA.2 is increasing, but the total number of cases aren't increasing as fast as we saw with BA.1. So I think there's no cause for the general public to really sort of get too worried right now, but the scientific community is certainly watching BA.2 and what's happening right now. People keep throwing around this term endemic versus pandemic. And I think it's important to note that All endemic means is that we expect that we'll be dealing with this virus on a regular basis. It doesn't mean that the threat from this virus has diminished. We still are going to need to more effectively use vaccines and antivirals to really make sure that the disease potential is controlled after SARS-CoV-2 infection, even if we think we're now going to be dealing with this for many, many years to come.